Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the opportunity to have a meeting in the sanctuary on the Sabbath day. Lord, we thank you to give us the Sabbath. Help us to keep it holy and help us be brought closer to thee. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to work on Revelation chapter 12. Open your Bible to Revelation chapter 12. We're going to start with the first verse. Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. All right, take this first verse. When it said the woman clothed with it, well, first off, what is a woman in prophecy? All right, let's take a look at Jeremiah chapter 6. Keep your thumb on Revelation, finger in Revelation 12. But we'll go to Jeremiah chapter 6. And we're going to read verse 2. Revelation chapter 6, verse 2. I have likened the daughter of Zion to a comely and delicate woman. So the daughter of Zion is the church. This text says the woman represents the church. All right, now 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Second Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, and I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. The church is a chaste virgin to Christ. Now, if you open your, turn to Revelation chapter 19, Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, we're going to start reading verse 7, verses 7, 8, and 9. Revelation chapter 19, starting with verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she would be arrayed in linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. For he said unto me, Blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, These are the true sayings of God. So here it tells you that Christ's bride is a chaste virgin, dressed in white. White means purity. Now Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, verse 9, 10, 11. Revelation chapter 21, verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels who had the seven vials full of seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven for God. Here in heaven, the glory of God, her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like jasper, stone, and crystal. So here Christ in is likened the residence of the holy city as Christ's bride. Jesus really loved the church. We call it his bride. Now we go back to Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. It said, A woman clothed with the sun. The sun here represents the gospel message, the true gospel of Christ, the brightening of the world. The moon represents the mosaic period. Standing on the mosaic period, it grew out of the mosaic period. And a crown of 12 stars, the stars represent the 12 apostles. Verse 2, And she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his head. All right, this great red dragon represents pagan Rome. Pagan Rome. All right, and verse 4 says, And his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and he cast them to the earth. this great red dragon was on the earth, you're talking about a third of the stars of heaven. You're talking about a third of the members of the Sanhedrin, the Christ Church at that time on earth. He cast them out. And dragon stood before the woman was ready delivered for devour his child as soon as it was born. All right, now, woman ready to have a child. Who's this child? Jesus. Woman is church, we're going to have a son, Jesus. All right, and if we know our history of the early Christian church, what did Herod do when he heard there was a king in Bethlehem? He ordered that all the boys 2 years old and younger would be slain. So the dragon was ready, the red dragon was ready to slay the baby Jesus. How did Jesus escape? The angel told him to flee into Egypt. So Christ fled into Egypt. Verse 5, and she brought forth a man child who was in to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne. We know that Jesus, after crucifixion, after his resurrection, ascended to God. He's up in heaven now. Verse 6, and a woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared of God, and they would feed her. All right, we're going into the time prophecy that's given the most often in Bible. Time prophecy given the most often in the Bible. All right, and we have to remember a few things. First off, in Numbers 14:34, it tells you that a day in prophecy stands for a year. Ezekiel 4:6 says the same thing. A day in prophecy stands for a year. In Daniel chapter 4, it tells you that a time stands for a year. So when you see the time word time, it means year. All right, now I've got some help on these. Daniel 7:25. Who has that text? All right.
And he shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and laws. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and half a time.
All right, thank you. Who has Daniel 12:7?
And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand into heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished.
All right, thank you. Revelation 11:2.
But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and for the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months.
All right, Revelation 11, chapter 3.
And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth.
Thank you. Revelation 12, verse 6.
And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days.
Revelation 12:14.
But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent.
All right, thank you. Now notice all these texts, if you work it out carefully mathematically, they add up to 1,260 days. All of them work out to 1,260 days. You know, we have a lot of time prophecies in the Bible. This is the one that's given the most often. It must be very important. All right, if we study in our Bible, we know that the Catholic Church became supreme in 538 A.D. when Justinian gave the Pope his power. And then if we continue 1,260 years, it comes down to 1798, when Napoleon's General Berthier captured the Pope and took him captive. It makes out to 1,260 years. This is the time of what they call the Dark Ages, the period of the Dark Ages. The Pope is supreme. And Jesus also said in Matthew, he said, the time would be shortened. All right, the time was shortened. With the discovery of America, persecution in Europe didn't do much good. People could flee to North America and get away from the persecution. So the time was shortened, but this period did last to 1798 when the Pope was taken captive. And the Pope was taken captive, and if anybody know anything about, I'm probably older than some of you in here. There are some people older. But I remember back in the late 20s and early 30s when the Catholic Church in the United States was nothing. The Catholics looked down upon. But now, look at the Catholic Church today. You can't pick up the paper without reading something about the Catholic Church. So in 1928, Mussolini gave the Pope back his power and gave him back the Vatican. And from that time on, the Pope has become powerful. So it's proved up this prophecy, the period of the Dark Ages. Not only during the period of the Dark Ages, you have to study, if you go home and read this period in Great Controversy, it tells you about the Waldenses and the trouble they faced during this period of Dark Ages. They were persecuted. Armies were sent to destroy them during this period of time. You know, God said the Lord protected them. You know, if the Lord protected these people during the 1260 years, I have no problem about the Lord protecting me during a time of trouble. We have to remember that. If he protected those people during that period of time, he'll protect us and provide a shelter for us if we need it. All right, we're back on. Revelation 12, verse 6. And a woman fled in the wilderness, which have a place prepared of God, and should feed her there 1,260 days. This time is given out right out in 1,260 days, or 1,260 days. A day for a year makes it 1,260 years. All right, verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels. Who is Michael? If you look in Jude and in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you find out Michael is Christ. Christ is the archangel, and Michael is Christ. And it says here, Christ fought against the dragon. And in Luke, I think it's chapter 10, I forget the chapter, it says, Jesus said, I saw Satan like lightning cast to the ground. Much during this period of time. All right, and the dragon fought and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, the old servant called the devil and Satan. So he said the devil and Satan was cast out of heaven, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and angels were cast out with him. So that's why we have the problem we have on the earth today. The devil is down here tempting us. Verse 10, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down. We accuse him before God day and night. It tells you here, the accuser of our brethren is whom? Lucifer. Satan's accuser of our brethren. He's accusing us before God. And when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, Lucifer is going to accuse us and claim us as his. But Christ is going to say, my blood has saved this person. Person has come to Christ and is saved. But Lucifer would like to have all of us lost. Verse 12, 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of his testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. When did Christ defeat Lucifer? On the cross. Christ defeated Lucifer on the cross. When Christ died on the cross, before he died, he said what? It is finished. that he met the end of the power of Lucifer. Lucifer wasn't ended then, but that was the end of his great power. Lucifer knew at that time he was done. We talk about the blood of the Lamb. The Lamb is Christ. As a matter of fact, in Revelation, it says Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. Jesus and God made a pact, a covenant, to save mankind even before the world was created. I think as Desire of Ages said, they clasped hands. Christ and the Father clasped hands in the salvation of men for us. Verse 13, when the dragon saw she cast the earth, he persecuted a woman which brought forth a man-child. Satan persecuted the church. And in verse 14, and to the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, she might fly into the wilderness in her place, and she nourished for a time, a times, and half a time from the face of the serpent. So the woman, this is another one of those time periods, the woman was chased in the wilderness for 1,260 years. Verse 16, earth helped the woman. Earth opened her mouth and swallowed the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And verse 17, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. This is the last, the remnant means the last church. We're the last church. The end of the line. Now you ladies who do cloth know that when you go to the store, you can buy the remnant is the end of the bowl. There's no more. So we're the remnant of the church. We're the last church. And it said also, two characteristics: they keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. Revelation 19:10. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said to me, "See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and thy brethren have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So this tells you that the remnant church will keep the commandments of God and have the spirit of prophecy. I'm so happy that we had Ellen White in our church, for the guidance we had. Ellen White she called herself the messenger of God, but I say she was a true prophet. You know, I'm a Civil War buff. I read in the I think the first chapter of the testimonies what Sister White said about the Civil War. And she said the North would never win the Civil War until the slaves were freed. If you study the history, they fought back and forth until 1862 when the Emancipation Proclamation was signed freeing the slaves. Then the North went on to victory. How did Sister White know that? She's a prophet. If you want to really know how much Christ loved our church, all right, let me explain something here first, then we'll read some text. In the Hebrew economy, if a man was a slave, he could work 7 years and be freed. If he was married when he became a slave, his wife would go out with him. If he married while he was a slave, at the end of 7 years, he could go free, but his wife had to stay behind. And if they decided to stay a slave, they were taken to a door, and you were bored through with it all, and he was a slave forever. He had a choice, to go with his bride or be freedom. Christ had the same choice. In the Garden of Gethsemane, let's take and read that. That's found in Matthew 26. Starting with verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with him into a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray yonder." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith unto them, "My soul is vexing sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me." And he fell on his face, praying, "O my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And he cometh to the disciples and find them asleep, and said unto Peter, "What, you could not watch with 1 hour? Watch and pray that you are not to temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away the second time and prayed, O my Father, if this cup may not be passed away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. At this particular time, Christ could have gone to heaven without facing the cross. Christ could have gone to heaven without facing the cross. But he had a bride. He could have gone to heaven and left his bride behind, but Christ so loved his bride that he went through the crucifixion for us. The decision for our salvation was made in the Garden of Gethsemane. It wasn't made on a cross. When Christ died on the cross and after he raised from the dead, Christ had a body. He said, look at me, feel me, touch me. A spirit does not have flesh and blood. He had flesh and blood. And Acts 1:11 says the same thing. Ye men of Galilee, why are you standing to go up into heaven? This same Jesus was taken up in heaven, was so coming like manner as you see him going to heaven. This same Jesus. Jesus is coming back the same way he went. He went with human flesh. He's coming back with human flesh. He gave up that part of his life when he died on the cross for us in salvation. That's how much Jesus loved us. We're his church. Do we accept it? You know, we talk a lot about the commandments of God. Revelation 14:12 says practically the same thing. Here are they who keep the commandments of God in the face of Jesus. Commandments. Are we saved by keeping the commandments? No. We can't get to heaven without the commandments. We're saved by faith. What does Ephesians chapter 2 say? Somebody started right. For by grace are you saved through faith, but not of yourself, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man shall boast. We can't work our way into heaven. What did John say? Jesus say in John 15 chapter? He said, if ye love me, do what? Keep my commandments. Jesus put love before duty. Jesus put love before, if ye love me, keep my commandments. We have to love Jesus. We can't keep the commandments without Jesus' love. Shall we pray? Your Heavenly Father, nobody can tell why Jesus went through what he did for us, for me. Help each of us be worthy of that sacrifice, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.